This week, we're in week four, so basically we're wrapping up the sermon series, and this week it's prophetic peace, and a lot of this is residual. You're going to hear it over, and I'm hoping that he said this before, and he's preached this before, but I want you all to leave this year with the profound understanding of who Jesus Christ is, and how this was predicted, and how the prophecies stated this coming of a Savior, and it happened, and now we're living in this moment. And so this sermon, we're going to be in Isaiah 9, 6 through 7, and Micah 5, 2. So it's the Old Testament books. But I want you to think, as I'm speaking tonight, I want you to think that God's peace is greater than any peace that the world tells you that you can have. But also I want you to feel that I am capable of feeling true peace. But I also want you to do, I've been doing this and I'm going to continue with this, I like it, is I want you to let go of the world's standards for your life. I want you to let go of those standards for your life and press into living for God's peace. And you're going to see a dramatic change in your life. And so last week, we talked about the servant love of Jesus Christ. And we talked about how his life, he had to be born to die. And in a way that we know that's a blessing, but it's still heartbreaking, isn't it? That he had to be born to die for who? Us. Not for God. He's good. He died for us. And so then we have to look at how he came into this world. It was marked by such a humble act and a way he came in. He was the king being born. He's the Messiah. And the way he came into this world was in a manger. And I was going to show a video. It was 10 minutes long, but I'm going to send you a link so you can watch it. See, we vision a manger as a wooden thing with hay in it, and it looked quite comfortable. However, that's not probably what it was, and we have to understand how their homes were developed. And I thought this was powerful, is that his manger was a watering trough that was made out of cement, concrete, hard clay that hay was put into. But also, when they say the inn was full or the places of staying, that means where you would go to someone's house, you would the living space, that was full. But underneath these homes, what they would do is they created a place for animals to bring them in at night because people would steal them or animals would hurt them, so they would kind of bring them in the basement. So could you imagine if we had a basement and we had it full of animals? But why would they do this? Because the animals were their lifeblood. It was their milk. It was their meat, right? And so it was their way of living. And so when they say he was born in a manger, the only place they had was for Jesus, Joseph and Mary to go downstairs amongst the animals. And that's where baby Jesus was born. Think about that. So the homes we live in is much greater than Jesus ever had. And so I want us to come into this time of year and we look at this and we look at this true peace and we look at the understanding, because we want to err on caution, because we don't want to put ourselves into the Bible, okay? What we need to do is read the Bible from the perspective of the context of what God's trying to work through that writer to let us know and to understand. When we put us in the Bible, sometimes that puts a greater sense of who we are, because I know I'm not King David, and I'm John, right? But I can look at these individuals' lives and these stories, and I can really relate because it tugs at my heart, because my life does have similar qualities. So as we go into this time of year, it's a great time of year. It's a blessing. We have all these different traditions and these. We had a toy drive. We had people donate toys. And I was telling Emily this, we're such a small ministry and we really don't have a whole lot of funds, but yet we're doing so much for the community. I love this because that shows you that God is working, that God is blessing in abundance through obedience, right? And so we have these toys here that are, there are about 10 stuffed animals in here, and the donkey's in there because the baby needs the donkey. He's a one-year-old boy that we're going to take to Yopora. We're never going to know this baby, but that baby's going to have 10 brand new stuffed animals to hug on, drool on, chew on. And we just pray, and we're going to pray over this, that these animals provide comfort, just as the same comfort that Jesus provides for us. And then we gave and donated half of these other toys to the Beta Club, which went to Blair Batson, I think is what it's called, Children's Hospital. And what I didn't know, and this might not be the case for the Beta Club, but the lady that's behind it, not the Beta Club, but the reason why we donate to that hospital is because that lady lost her child. And so every year in his honor, she raises toys for the kids at that hospital. So things are so much greater than we can imagine. Also, what we're going to be doing now is Monday, we're going to be taking the rest of these toys here, and we're going to be taking them to Ackerman Elementary School. So let's pray, and we'll get into the Word of God. Father, Lord, just thank you so much for this message. Thank you for this series, and thank you for your Son. Father, thank you for the prophecies, and thank you for the individuals that are obedient, that listened and followed your commands. Father, forgive us for where we fall short, and Father, and just be with us as we go through this tonight. Have us our ears open, our hearts open, our eyes open, so we can engage with your Word. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. If y'all can turn to or flip to your phone on Isaiah 9, chapter 9, verses 6. I'm going to read it, and you can follow along with me. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulder, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. 700 years prior to the birth of Jesus Christ, Isaiah in chapter 9, verse 6, is telling you what is to come. So if we're back then and we're reading these scrolls of Isaiah, we see this, and guess what that's going to give us? A sense of hope. But this glorious prophecy of the birth of the Messiah reminds not it's a specific people, it's Israel, that the victory-bringing Messiah is on his way, that he's coming. So their whole life, they've studied this, and they've been waiting for this. And here's what's crazy, is when it thinks about that the Messiah is going to be a man, theoretically, the Messiah could have been anything, because God's God, right? So the Messiah could have been an angel. The Messiah could have been God without humanity. But in reality, those options weren't qualified to be the Messiah because our Savior and our High Priest had to be born as a man. And that's why he says the child had to be born in this scripture. So if Jesus was not fully man, he could not stand in place of a sinful man to be a substitute for the punishment that man deserves. So if Jesus came and the Messiah was just a hologram or a ghost or an angel, or God without his humanity, he couldn't do this. And if he were not fully God, then his sacrifice would have been insufficient. And if Jesus is not fully God and fully man, then we're lost in sin. To us, a son is given. And then it goes on, and the government will be on his shoulders. And it took a minute to look this up, and I was thinking, what type government would this look like? And the only thing I can do is surround myself through history books and today's understanding of government. So the leaders of today, they surround themselves with servants. Jesus surrounded himself with servanthood. Leaders of this day use their power to build their empire. Jesus uses his power to wash our feet and make us clean. Leaders of this day trade their influence for money. God so loved the world that he gave. Generals of this day need regular wars to keep their weapons and their skills up to date and to fine-tune this process to ensure their own advancement for their country. But Jesus brings peace to rest in our hearts. The higher plane of importance that comes with one that reaches the world, the more status you get, the more inaccessible you are, but Jesus is Emmanuel. He is God with us. Completely accessible. Leaders of this day are so desperate to be seen and heard. Jesus was anonymous for most part. He said, shh, don't go tell anybody. Anonymity. So he could be useful. See, Jesus, he's not completely in charge of halls of Washington or London or Moscow or Baghdad. Jesus is really not in charge. And most of these governments are actually rejecting Jesus, right? So he's definitely not in charge in some of these countries. So how could this part of Scripture ever come where it says the government will be upon his shoulders? In God we trust is on its way out, it seems. However, if we look at Jesus' government, we see that it's wonderful and it's working. When I see someone that miraculously leaves a life of addiction, drugs, alcohol, or whatever it may be, and is restored to his family and restored to work, I can see now that that individual is governed by God. Whenever I see a loving Christian genuinely care for a child that's been rejected by his own family or comes from a foster home, I know that those people watching over that child are governed by God. And whenever I see people eagerly learning the Bible and wanting to know the Word of God that are joyfully praising the Word of God, I know who the governor is. But when I see people in their lucrative careers and they give them up just to go share the good news of Jesus, I know who their governor is. When I see pastors that carefully teach the flock and lead them to the arms of Jesus, I know they're getting signals from the great King. And when I see people leave their family to live a life that is going to these foreign countries to share the gospel, because they love these people enough to make sure that they get to know the word so they get to spend eternity with them, they're governed by God. So when we look at the government of Jesus and upon his shoulders, it's alive and it's working. It might be silent and mostly unseen, but we can be and we are by choice governed by God. I love this because hope and joy and peace and rest, it covers all. Justice, mercy, and grace amazingly coexists. See, this is one of the things that we can say coexist in a biblical way because those things are God. See, I like this kingdom I'm talking about today. And the best thing about it is this kingdom, this government, the borders are open. So if you're listening or you're here today, the thing you can do is just come in. Be part of it. Live your life so people know that you're governed by God. And it goes on, it says the Messiah is wonderful. It says he's a wonderful counselor, but if we focus just on wonderful, it's the glory of who he is and what he's done. And that should fill us with wonder. Him being wonderful should fill us with wonder. I think when Christ is on your heart, you can never really look at the Word of God. You can never look at Jesus and be bored because he's wonderful. He will fill your heart and mind with such amazement. He will fill your heart and your mind with things from heaven and not of the world. And the Messiah, Emmanuel, he's our counselor. By trade, I'm a biblical counselor. But before we get in that office, I pray, Lord, your will be done. Use me, because my words are nothing. Because Jesus can help you with your problems. And sometimes, be in the presence of other godly men and women, you can see that presence of Christ in counsel. Because Jesus is our counselor. But the Messiah, he is mighty God. He is the God of all creation and all glory. He's the Lord who reigns in heaven. And he's the one that's worthy of our praise and worship. And Messiah is the everlasting Father. He is the creator himself. And then he's the Prince of Peace. This isn't peace for the world. This is peace between God and man. Because until Jesus is the Lord of your heart, you're enemies to God. Because you're serving the world. Jesus is the Messiah and he's the Prince of Peace. He's bridging that gap between God and man. And it's only through Jesus that this bridge can happen. Let's turn to Micah 5:2. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, I had to Google that, Ephrathah, though you are small, the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. God uses the foolish at times, doesn't he? God uses the weak. But in this time, there was a coming time of humiliation, and it was under the foreign powers, but God's going to raise up a great ruler from the most humble place. Last week, we said his birth was in a manger, and that set the stage for this humility. God is intentional. God has this plan, and God is going to act, and he's going to bring him up from Bethlehem. Bethlehem is known for David's great city. It's the hometown of David. Outside of that, there's really been nothing great or influential coming from Bethlehem. It was truly, when we look at the context and look at the surroundings, little among thousands of Judah. This was small. It's kind of like what Israel is right now, faced by all this going around them. And all these Arab worlds and countries are sitting there saying that they're in our land when 99% of the land is theirs, and all Israel has is just this little chunk. But yet this little chunk cannot be destroyed. This little chunk is powerful. This little chunk is God's people. See, in the passage from Micah 5, I love it. It was because this was quoted by the chief priests later on in Matthew 2, 5 through 6. It was quoted when Herod asked about the birth of the Messiah. And Matthew 2, verses 1 through 6, recounts the story of the Magi and the wise men who traveled from east to Jerusalem in search for the newborn king for the Jews. And they inquired of the location of the child, and then they saw the star in the east, and they wanted to worship him. But King Herod, we talked about how he was troubled with this. King Herod was a horrid king. He was not good. He was the essence of evil. But once he got this, that there were a king that was going to be born, he had to know where he was because he could not have anyone put a threat to his kingdom. But they pointed out this prophecy in Micah 5:2, stating that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. So it was scripture, it was a prophecy that the Magi only knew where Jesus was going to be born. Other than that, they didn't know until it was revealed. But then Herod privately met with these Magi. He said, look, go scope this child out. Find this child. Find Jesus, because I want to fall down and worship him too. But once again, God is intentional, and God has a plan, and God is well ahead of us. But this passage shows you in the New Testaments that prophecy is being fulfilled, and it sets the stage for all the events that happen thereafter. Bethlehem, if you break it down, it means house of bread. And Jesus is the bread of life. Now that word Ephrathah is another area. And this was an old name of a place that the Jews retained and loved. It meant fruitfulness and it meant abundance. And so I was looking at, like, why was Ephrathah mixed in with this? But it goes on, and we can say that Jesus was born in the house of fruitfulness. His life was fruitful, his whole life. And Spurgeon said it best, our poor barren hearts never produced one fruit or flower till they were watered with the Savior's blood. And you skip down, it says, going forth and are from old and everlasting. And this shows us the important things is, the glory of Jesus Christ. It shows us he's far more than just man. It shows us that the love of Jesus, that he's going to leave the glory of heaven to come down here for us. Scripture is amazing. It just takes commitment and time to read through it and to look at the contexts and to research all the different commentaries and prayer for God to show you. But it also shows us that the nature of Jesus, he would add humanity to his deity. Think about this. Jesus could have had a God card and wiped it at any time. He could have been saved by a fleet of angels. He could have, all these things. He could have, but he chose not to. He shows us the sympathy of Jesus, that he remains fully man and fully God. Truly God or truly man. So if prophecy 700 years before his birth, and we see this in the New Testament, we see this being fulfilled. Think about it. These individuals were waiting for this. These generations of individuals were waiting for the Messiah to come. And guess what? He did. He was born because he had to die. We fast forward to today, and Jesus is still changing hearts of man. That only in his death are we fully with that bridge between God and man through Christ. So as we get closer to this joyous day of what we celebrate Christmas, let this be a reminder that the gifts under the tree are an added bonus. But if you fully surrender and accept Jesus Christ in your life and what he done on the cross, even if you're going to reject him, is the greatest gift that you could ever receive this holiday season. To know that God's going to send his son to come down here to be rejected by people, to be murdered, to be resurrected and come back, to send his disciples out for people today to still reject him and deny him. The greatest gift is surrendering your heart to this, to Jesus. Because it's only in him that any good comes from our lives. And I love how the preparation for peace comes in through John the Baptist's ministry. And even John the Baptist had a prophecy from Isaiah saying there's the voice of one calling in the wilderness, preparing the way for the Lord to make straight the paths for him. And as today we look at the news and we see the news, we see these things happen, we ask ourselves, is this prophecy being fulfilled today? I think some ways it is. We can't deny the prophecy of the old. But then in Isaiah 40 verses 3 through 5, it says, a voice of the one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. It's repent and turn to God. But then when the Prince of Peace revives, we look at the summary of his story, and I'll wrap it up here, is the angel Gabriel announces the birth of Jesus, the fulfillment of prophecy in Luke when the birth in Bethlehem, the angel's proclamation, glory to God in the highest heaven, earth on peace, or in earth peace to those who his favor rests. God is a God of order. God is intentional. But then this is a peace that surpasses all understanding. Jesus' ministry of peace in Matthew 11, 28 through 30 says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. How many here, how many listening are weary or burdened? Isaiah 53, 5, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds, we are healed. He is Emmanuel. It's God with us. A child had to be born, and that child grew into man and had to die. And he chose to the obedience, to be obedient to the cross. He chose to be obedient to the will of his Father. There's our Christmas gift. What he asks of us is to repent and believe. And if you are in Christ, then he says, go and be fishers of men. go out and fish for the ones that are lost, share the gospel, share who Jesus Christ is, share Jesus Christ in and through your life, share Jesus in how you serve. But if you're weary and burdened, go to Him. He will give you rest. Let's pray. Father, Lord, thank you so much. It's such a humbling notion to know that you were born, that you had to die too, that you chose to die on the cross, that that day of justification, you took on our iniquities and our transgressions. You lived a sin-free life. You took the penalty of hell away. And we just believe in you because the Spirit's drawing us towards you, and we repent, and we have a repentant heart, Father. It's because of what you did on the cross that we can have a relationship with our Abba, our God. But Father, as we go through this holiday season, help the ministry grow in the aspect of glorifying your kingdom. Help the individuals listening or sitting here grow in relationship and wisdom and stature in your word, in relationship with you. Father, put on our hearts that the people that we want to give up on, the people we want to run away from, is the people that we need to be praying for and pursuing. Father, Lord, just forgive us of our iniquities. Forgive us of our sins. Forgive us where we do not put the effort into relationship with you and your word. Father, we know that sometimes we doubt. Sometimes we want to know all the answers that we can't get answers to. But Father, in our doubt, grow our faith for the ones that don't believe. And Father, for the ones that say they believe in Christ and Christ is the Lord of their heart, convict them and move them to study the Word of God and to know your Word, to know the prophecies that were fulfilled and the prophecies that will be fulfilled. Father, help them know what it's going to be like with when Christ comes back. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.